Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he?
All the time.
Amen. And all the time.
God
is good. We are going to go to the Lord in prayer for the awesome things he has done, he is doing, and he is about to do. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service. Thank you for every person gathered here together, God. Be with every need, spoken and unspoken, God. Be with everyone's hearing as well, God, and be with every need that is those watching online. Jesus, we thank you for this day, for your many blessings, for all that you've given, for all that you've done, for all that you're about to do. Be with Pastor as he delivers a message. Have your way in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God is good. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Maybe because it's not zero, but I'm still excited. We serve an awesome God, and it's an awesome day to be alive. And I'm so glad you've chosen to worship with us either in person or online. If it's your first time here in the building, we'd love to get to know you. We have a connection card. One of the ushers should have gave you one of these. If not, you can get it at the welcome kiosk. Or if you're watching online, you can join in and fill it out on our bit.ly link. We'd love to get to know you. Thank you for worshiping together with us. We serve an awesome God, and he is doing great and awesome things. If you would like to give, the Bible says he loveth the cheerful giver, and I sure enjoy the privilege and opportunity and blessing to give. You can give here in person at the offering box on the welcome kiosk. You can also mail in your offering at 5301 Commercial Avenue. You can text to give, or you can use the Church Center app to give online. A few announcements before we go into worship. Next Saturday, November 12th, will be our craft and vendors fair right here at the building. So make sure you join us for that. It'll be an awesome time. Come and get some wonderful crafts, fellowship, and get to see one another. Then with the following that, on next Sunday, November 13th, will be our veteran service. We'll be having our 10 a.m. classes. And then 11 a.m. we'll be honoring our vets. So make sure you come support our veterans. We are so thankful for the awesome sacrifice that they gave that we can worship God freely and openly in this great nation. And Friday, November 18th, that's two Fridays from now, we'll be having our CGC Ladies Conference. It'll be here at church. It starts at 6 p.m., so you're not going to want to miss it. Sister Kura is going to be speaking an awesome message. There'll be a Q&A and followed by a chili fellowship following service. It's a cost of $5 for all the ladies if you're able to make it. Do make it a point. Man, I just want to challenge you. Take some time out. Watch the kids. Let your wives go out and be blessed. Amen? Amen. And I'm sure I will be doing that, and I look forward to my wife coming out and being blessed. Also, if you're interested in our Thanksgiving meal, please make sure you sign up by this Wednesday. There is a sign-up form on the kiosk right over across from the restrooms out on the as you're exiting the building to your left. Please go over there and sign up if you're interested in joining us for a Thanksgiving meal, and please do that as soon as possible so we can get a feel for who's able to make it. With that being said, let's go to the Lord and worship, and let's worship with expectation for the awesome things God is doing and is about to do. Amen. If you'd stand with me all over the house.
Raise the name of Jesus. Jesus, we worship you. Let's do that one more time. How great,
how great.
We worship you, God.
Is our
we sing out with our voices, Jesus.
Sing with me,
how great
is our God. All will see how great is our God.
Thank you, God. Let's just worship him right now. We worship you, Jesus. You're great.
We serve a great God. I am just, sometimes I just, like the song says, I stand amazed. I stand amazed. You could be seated this morning. For those of you that are here, family and friends from Sister Eileen Manley's homegoing celebration yesterday, what an incredible, incredible woman of God. And she's going to be missed, but I'm a little bit jealous, but it's so great to have all of you here. And Brother Seidel did an incredible job at our Bible lesson today, and I'm amazed sometimes. We don't compare notes, and I didn't look at what was going to be taught today. And it just amazes me on how God just sometimes just dovetails things together so nicely. So as we move into the close of this year, can you believe that? We're already approaching Thanksgiving. You know, you go to they haven't started playing that I know of yet Christmas music in the stores, but maybe they have. I just haven't been paying that close of attention. But it's hard to believe that time has flown by. We're in November already, halfway through November. It'll be Thanksgiving, and then after Thanksgiving, it's going to be Christmas. And then we'll be from Christmas, we'll be back into New Year's, and before we know it, it'll be 2023. And we'll be sitting here, we'll be looking and saying, where in the world did 2022 go? While we're still trying to figure out what happened to 2021 and 2020. It's incredible the fast pace. I remember talking to a builder before I worked for the church here and became worked as a pastoral capacity. I worked as a plumber and for a number of years, and I was talking to one of the builders, and we were talking about how fast you're expected to get things done now. It's just an expected. And he said when he started building houses, this was back in the mid-1980s, which I know is a very long way away for many of you. But back in mid-1980s, they would start a house from start to finish. It would be about 144 days. And he said now we're down to 60 days or less because of the demands and the pressures put on us by financial institutions wanting to turn their money around faster. So it makes everybody work faster, makes everything speed up. And we read in Scripture, and Bible talks about in the last days about wearing out of the saints. I mean, there are just some days I go home and I'm just plumb, slap, dab, worn out. That's a good old Southern term. And I wake up in the morning and you're worn out. And you go all day, and by the time you get home, you're worn out, and you just live in a perpetual state of worn out. And I used to blame that on the fast pace of life as a plumber, and then I found out it's had nothing or little to do with the fast pace of life working in construction. It just simply has to do with the fast pace of life, period. So we're going to talk today. And it's a principle, and it's an unusual principle, if I could put it that way, but nevertheless, so we talk about fighting our way through seasons of life. We just finished a series where we talked about a number of different things that we had to overcome in order to live a productive Christian life. God, rather, I want you to understand something. God wants us to live productive lives. He doesn't want his church to be worn out, beat up, frustrated, tired all the time. He wants us to be overcomers. And in order to be overcomers, we have to live a life that would be becoming of an overcomer. So we've talked a lot about this. Maybe perhaps today you're in a season of pain or illness or loss of some sort. And this message is for those who are still in the thick of it. As we talked about the last few weeks about that 800-pound gorilla that's in the room that you're having to deal with. Or perhaps maybe you've come through an 800-pound gorilla trial, and you're just entering into, or maybe you're just entering into a season of your life where you're starting to feel some of those struggles and some of those pains and some of that loss. And as I've stated before, that life is a series of battles. Did you know that? Life is a series of battles, and we are going to either win that battle or we are going to lose that battle on a day-to-day basis. Some days it's before noon, we done been whooped. You know what I'm talking about. Monday mornings especially are difficult, and Friday afternoons. It's a little easier to live victorious Friday afternoon when the boss says, you got your 40 and go home. Not quite so when it's Friday afternoon and the boss says, we need another 10 hours out of you for the weekend. We've got a lot more, and all of a sudden your countenance changed and everything that you could see yourself doing over the weekend now all of a sudden comes crashing down. We've been teaching God's Word for Life, and our goal here is as a pastoral staff, as your pastor, I want to assist you. We want to assist in supplying you with all the information that you need so you can take that information and you can turn it into a finely tuned spiritual weapon. Pastor Seidel talked about knowledge and wisdom this morning. It's not just knowledge. It's knowledge is good, but wisdom is when to apply such said knowledge. And we want to be able to supply you with spiritual knowledge and spiritual wisdom so that you can live a triumph life over those battles that we fight every day. As of this year, from the beginning of this year, we started off talking about Acts 2:42, and you may have thought, well, we haven't talked about Acts 2:42 in a while, but we're slowly weaving in principles of sound doctrine into our teaching. That's what Acts 2:42 is really all about. It's playing it out, not just on a Sunday morning church service or Wednesday night, but it's playing it out on Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's living these principles and applying them every day in your life. So this year, so far, we've covered 13 series. And all of these series have contained one or more what we call just simple life principles, biblical principles found in the Word of God that we can take and we can live our lives by, and we can apply these principles to use them to overcome our enemies, to overcome those things that come against us in whatever shape, size, color, or form that they come at us today. So today, as we're beginning to wind down our year of series, and we'll be getting into our Christmas season shortly, and we'll have a separate series for Christmas, we're going to look at another principle that is a very important principle for building a better life after those hard times, after that struggle, after we have that 800-pound gorilla soundly defeated. So we're going to read from the Old Testament, a somewhat obscure book. We don't read a lot from this book. It's one of the minor prophets. I'm going to be reading in the contemporary English version this morning, and it's in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. Say that real fast three times. But it says, at the time I have decided, this is God speaking to the prophet. He says, at the time I have decided, my words will come true. You can trust what I say about your future. God ever tell you something about your future? You're wondering, where is that? Where is that promise that God has made? Where is that dream? What is that? Where is it? He says, you can trust what I say about the future. God goes on and says, this is what we gotta love this part. It says, I may take a long time. I'm reading the contemporary English version. I think it's a little better to understand, perhaps. I may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. Don't you just love that about God? God, I have a need. It's like now. And God says, well, you know, at the time I have decided, my words, if I can paraphrase this, what I promised you will come to pass. You can trust what I say, not for just today, not for tomorrow, but for your future and your extended future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. Now, in order to understand, I feel that sometimes we read a passage of Scripture and we try to immediately take that passage and make an application to it without getting the full story. I think that's why God puts full stories in His Scripture. So if we look at the back story on this, and I've said this before, that every principle has a story behind it. We have the how, we have the what, we have the when, the where, and the why. We have all of this. Remember that from English class? I think it was English class. We learned those various things. And God's principles, because, well, God is a creator of language, so God's principles follow a very similar pattern. So we're going to talk about the principle of pacing today. Now, I'm not talking about this pace. Where that, you know, you get nervous and you go to the zoo and you see the lions pacing back and forth. No, I'm talking about the principle of pacing your life. Pacing it. Getting your life to where it can function at a pace in which you can stay in control. You ever been in something that's out of control? Sometimes our lives are just out of control. So we're talking, so let's look at this. Habakkuk, as he surveyed the crazy, we think sometimes that we just have this problem today. He surveyed the crazy, out of control, raging international scene. This was an international problem going on in his day of wickedness, of misery, and injustice, and everything that was happening outside of the borders of Israel were spilling into the borders of actually Judah at this time. And it may sound familiar to us today as we read in the news, and it seems like whatever affects something over in the Middle East can affect us here, and one person all the way 10,000 miles away makes a speech, and all of a sudden our gas costs us 75 cents or a dollar more a gallon. And we look at these things, and it was the same situation that Habakkuk was dealing with. He was deeply concerned about the spiritual decline, that was how this was affecting God's people. Today, as a pastor, we get our pastoral staff, we talk about this frequently. We get concerned about the pressures that are on the church from outside of the church, how that affects us. And he pleaded to God for help. He could see all of this happening around him. He could see Judah was failing. He could see the international pressures being put upon the nation of Judah. And he could see all of this happening. And he goes to God with the right thing to do. And he goes to God and begins to plead to God for help. He says, God, can you help us? Help me. Give me the wisdom. Give me the right words to say. But God just kind of seemed to be in a different book than the prophet was. You know, sometimes you feel like you and God are like on the same page. You're reading the same sentence. Other times you don't even feel like you're in the same library. Ever feel that way? It's easy to feel that way sometimes, and this is exactly, he was confused at God's apparent indifference to the situation as he witnessed an arrogant assault and the evil acts from their enemies, and he saw the helplessness of his own people. Now, when Solomon said there's no new thing under the sun, he was pretty much dead on, wasn't he? You see, Habakkuk was befuddled, he was confused, bewildered to the fact that God did not act on behalf of his people. Now, there were some people that were really trying. There were some godly people there, but there were a lot of delinquent, sinful, errant people, prideful people. Understand, at the time of this writing, the Syrian army who was assaulting them, putting pressure on them, was noted to be especially cruel and extreme in their tactics of war. And Habakkuk was concerned because he was considered the great watchman on the wall. He had, was stepping in as a sincere intercessor for Israel. And it records that it's too painful for me, until he went into the sanctuary of the Lord. As he was out on the streets and he was out among the people and he saw the struggles and he saw how they were being influenced and he saw the result of that influence, he just says, I can't handle this anymore. And he goes into the sanctuary of the Lord. And it was there in the sanctuary of the Lord that he discovered that God was not indifferent to the suffering of his people. It was there in the sanctuary of the Lord that he came to understand that the Lord had appointed a very specific time in which he would come to rescue his people. You see, sometimes it's in the sanctuary of the Lord, it's in the presence of the Almighty, is when clarity begins to come into our minds and into our situation, and we're able to, God's not quite so far away as I thought. He's not in a different library. He's not in a different book. We're reading the same words, lock and step. You see, in Habakkuk's day, things were to get worse before they got better. And his greatest challenge was, as our greatest challenge is today, is to live by our faith and to trust in the Lord. That is so easy to say and so hard to do. You understand me today? It's so easy to say, oh, brother, just have faith in God. Just trust in God. It's so easy to say, and it's so hard. But you see, we have to live by our faith and trust in our God, who is faithful and is always, 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 never seemingly in our timing, but always true to his word. We're talking about the principle of pacing. He will rescue. He will whatever situation you're going through today, God's in it. God's got this. He's in control. He will rescue you. He will step in. He will rescue his church. He will rescue his people. He's not going to leave us hanging out to dry. So the same principle which applied 3,000 years ago is still in operation today. You see, God is faithful to carry out his plans and his purposes at his appointed time, and to finish the good work that he has started in all the lives of his children. God wants to finish everything he starts. The only thing that will stop God from finishing what he starts is if we decide we don't want to go any further, or if the rapture takes place and we're all out of here. You see, in this world, we will have tribulation. It's going to happen. We're going to have trials. We're going to have health problems. We're going to have financial problems. The Christian life, it's not always a bed of roses. But then you look at the other side. You look at the other side of the coin. I would rather have God with me through the bad times than not have God with me at all. be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. What did Jesus say? He said, you know, I have come. I have overcome this world. I've overcome all of this, and I've gone to prepare a place for you that where I am, you will be also. So until that time comes, it's easy to say, okay, all right, Pastor, what do we do? Well, how do we progress forward? So today, as we cover the principle of pacing, yes, the principle of pacing oneself, we're going to dig right into this. How do we re-engage after our battles? Ever wondered that? We just went through, perhaps you have just gone through one of the most difficult times of your life, and you're on the other side of it or working your way through it, and it's time for you to re-engage. And you wonder, how do I get back into this battle? You ever played jump rope on the playground? When we were kids, you'd have two people swinging the rope, and then you had to kind of time yourself and jump in. Most of the time where you struggled and got tangled in the rope was either jumping in or jumping out. Very seldom was it in. You just wear out after a while. They'd spin that rope faster and you'd jump faster. So the first point I wish to cover is so very, very simple. When we re-engage, we re-engage slowly. It's that simple. Nobody is expecting you to jump back into the race and jump back into the fight full bore, wide open. You see, after you've been wounded or hurt, overcome an illness, suffer a loss, it can leave you exhausted. It can leave you exhausted mentally. It can leave you exhausted physically. Now, when I say mentally, I mean emotionally. Physically as well as spiritually. Remember we did the study on the three-legged stool? God created us this way. So many times we try to fight this, but it's how God built us. He built us. We're physical, spiritual, and mental. We can interchange these words sometimes when we interchange the soul, spirit, and the mind and such. But what does it mean to engage slowly after a tough or a rough season? It means you shouldn't be in such a hurry. That's what it means. It means go slowly. Just because you have the freedom to do something doesn't mean you should be in a rush to do it all at once. You know, you get that hot fudge sundae or you get that banana split from Culver's, and you can engage with that slowly. Or you can just chow it down. I like to engage slowly. I know that's simple, but that's what I'm talking about, the simplicity. Doesn't mean you should be in a hurry. When you are tempted to hurry back into life, there's a few things that you need to remember. One of those things is you don't always have the same energy level that you had before your battle. You go through a period of illness. I know I haven't been what I would say real sick or real any serious life-threatening, although I guess if I didn't take care of some of them, they would become. But I found out that I don't have the energy level that I did a few years ago. But I have found out that I can get a lot done if I pace myself. I sat down the other day and I was thinking, you know, I said, Lord, I think I'm getting lazy. I don't want to do stuff anymore that I used to want to do. I'd rather sleep in than get up early, and I'm going to bed earlier at night, and I'm just like, I got to be getting lazy. I like coming home and sitting down and relaxing before I do anything, and what's wrong with me? And then I started going back at the beginning of the year and looking at all the projects, all the things that we've had to deal with over the course of the year, and I'm like, Lord, good mercy, no wonder I'm tired. Pace yourself. You know, it's as simple as this. This is a simple little analogy. You ever have a battery and you put one light bulb to that battery and all of a sudden that light bulb is like bright? Then you take another light bulb and you put to it and you put another one and another one and another one, and pretty soon you got a string, and pretty soon if you put enough light bulbs to it, that battery doesn't have enough energy to produce to light up every light bulb at full strength. And that's what happens in our lives. Situations come, crisis comes, it drains our energy more quickly. Pace yourself. Disconnect a few light bulbs. If you don't, it'll get so dark you won't even be able to see. And remember that this is hard. God is never in a hurry. You know, God could have caused the earth to flood like that. It took him 40 days. Why? God says, well, I'm really not in a hurry in this thing. Noah's going to be in this boat for a year. So what's the big deal? He could have just said, let there be rain. Flood. Everybody's gone. Took him 40 days. Took him 7 days for creation. One of those days he just blew resting. Can you imagine what he could have done on the seventh day? Just think of that. Think of all he could have done. He says, no. I've done enough. I'm kind of tired. I'm going to rest. God's never in a hurry. Try to find one single example in the scripture where Jesus was in a hurry. I love this story because it goes against everything in us when we look at it. Jesus' best friend, his best three buddies, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, one of the favorite places he loved to go hang out with on Sunday afternoon after a tough message in the synagogue. He was in Bethany when word came. You know how far Bethany is from Jerusalem? You know how many miles he was away from Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house? About the same distance it is from here to Cottage Grove. About 2.5 to 3 miles. Jesus, Jerusalem, there in Bethany, they send word, come, Lazarus is sick. If you don't come, it's going to be bad. What does Jesus do? He putzes for 3 days. It took him 3 days to get from Calvary Gospel Church to Papa Jimmy's in Cottage Grove. I could start walking here right now, and by 2:30 I could be eating pizza. It took him 3 days. How did this happen? Lazarus is sick. Come on, God. Come on, Jesus. It's an emergency. Hurry. I've got time. word comes that, well, no point in hurrying anymore, Jesus, he's dead. That's all right, I'll take another day. Takes his time to get there, elder. Doesn't that would just imagine Mary and Martha. They're probably just like, if I could say this, like as chapped as they could ever be at Jesus. Come on, Jesus. It's our brother. He's your friend. He's dead now because you putzed getting here. Oh, how did this happen? Well, for starters, let's just put it in a little different perspective. Jesus says, you know what? I'm not really wanting to heal. I'm wanting to resurrect. And in order to resurrect and show who is the resurrection and the life, I gotta have somebody dead. So I'm gonna putz while Lazarus dies so we can have a resurrection. Is that awesome or what? God, Jesus had a much better plan, one that didn't require him to have to hurry. And understand, God's timing is always perfect. When you get impatient on those difficult days and you want to speed things along by doing it your way, you need to trust that God knows what he's doing. God understands that Lazarus was sick. He understands that he died. But he's like, I got a bigger plan. I got a better plan. I'm going to resurrect him and bring him back from the dead. You see, but in order for that to happen, Brother Repka, Jesus had to putz to get there. If he hurried, it wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't be reading about the Lazarus come forth and rolling away the gravestone. It would just be, well, his friend was sick, and Jesus raised him up to heal him of a fever. You see, it required Jesus to slow down, not show up too soon. And so many times we become impatient and we want to get ahead of God's schedule. I've thought of this, okay? Bend your mind around some of these things sometimes. Stretch your imagination. Have you ever wondered what your life would be like if you wouldn't have messed up trying to get ahead of God all the time and just all the things God has to rework on our account? God says, wait. We don't wait. We hurry up. We have an accident. We crash. We burn. We get hard feelings. Now God's got, oh, Lord, I got to go fix all of this now. God says, if you'd have just waited, if you would have been in such a hurry, I'm going to get there. I told them I was coming. Look at the scripture. The prophet Habakkuk, God had a word. Like many of us, they wanted to go back to the way they remembered their life. I hear this all the time. Boy, I sure wish we could go back to 2019. Not me. I don't want to go through all this mess again. Should be guys, I wish I could go back to 40. No, I don't want to go back to 40. 40 and 50 was rough. 50 to 60 was rough. 60, we're only in it a few months. We'll let you know another few months down the road how it's going, but I'm learning the principle of pacing myself. You see, wanting to hurry up God's plan has always been a problem. In the Old Testament, God had to remind his people that progress is gradual. It's not instantaneous. As Pastor Seidel said, you want wisdom and you want it now. It's not something that just happens. It's called the principle of pacing for a purpose. We want instant transformation. We want a total makeover in an hour. But God is not in a hurry. Hear me now. Write this one down. It's a good one, because he's more interested in growing your character than your pocketbook. God doesn't care about your pocketbook. He's concerned about your character. He wants to grow your character. Listen, God could give us $1 billion and would blow through it. He wants to build our internal parts so our internal parts reflect him. That's what this is all about. Growth happens little by little over your lifetime. You didn't wake up one morning, pop out of your mother's womb, place you in the hospital bed. 3 days later, you're walking out of there carrying your own crib saying, boy, I blew through that one fast. Growth is a process. We grow up, and then we grow out. Some of us are further in the process than others. So we have to understand, growth doesn't happen in a single step or in a single leap. It doesn't even come from a single decision. Well, I've decided to follow Jesus. I read what they said. If you follow Jesus, say these words. I've decided to follow Jesus, so now I'm a Christian. I'm all grown up. No. It's a process. That's the start. It's the very beginning of it. It comes through incremental changes. Sometimes those changes are just little itty-bitty changes, and sometimes they're bigger changes. Depends on what we're going through at the time. Some crisis, some situations we deal with changes a lot, and some a little. What do we read in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4? He talks about commitment. People with their minds set on you, you keep completely whole, steady on their feet, because they keep at it and don't quit. They're learning the principle of pacing here. Depend on God and keep at it, because in the Lord God you have a sure thing. Do you want to be whole and steady? Set your mind on God and keep at it, and don't be quick. One reason God moves slowly is because he knows that delays are going to make us stronger. When the Israelites were headed toward the promised land, they had a lot of barriers, didn't they? They were constantly overcoming various barriers. What does God say in Exodus? I'm reading from the contemporary version of this, Exodus 23:30. He says, I will force out your enemies little by little. Why? Why, God? Well, I want to give your nation time to grow strong enough so they can not just take over the land, but maintain the land. You see, God knew that they would only benefit from the promised land when things happened slowly. I've paced myself in this message, and I'm right perfectly on time. We're 2 minutes after noon. If you haven't changed your clocks back, I'm well into your dinner hour. But let's stand if our musicians can come. See, you got to remember something. Back to the battery and the lights. Electricity has always been fascinating to me. The things that you can do with it. And we have some electricians here in the house. Brother Rivest is an electrician, Brother Jim Rivest, and Brother Novak, James Novak's electrician. And it just amazes me what they can do with electricity. And in my bedroom, all throughout my house, I've gone around, because I don't like waking up in the morning and turning a light on, and it's like I'm looking at laying up at Lambeau Field, looking up at the lights up there. You turn the lights on, it's like, poof. I like to gradually light up my day. I don't know how the rest of you are. Maybe some of you like to get up. You like that feeling of your eyeballs, like pupils going this big to this big instantly. I like to gradually. When I brush my teeth in the morning, I don't want to see my whole self just quite yet. I got to gear up for that. So I get in. I use a dimmer to slowly turn things up. And we have to remember that God at times can be like a dimmer in our lives. We need to allow that to where God can just sometimes, just little by little, slowly turn things up in our lives. God doesn't just save you today. And tomorrow you're preaching general conference with David Bernard. Doesn't work that way, does it? It's a process. There's a pace that has to be set. Brother Millen, so many times we just get out there. You know, I can run a long time if I pace myself. But if I don't pace myself, Brother Larry, you got to, he probably paces himself to get all the way around this sanctuary. He does it about two times. I would almost go out on a limb here, and maybe I'm wrong, but if we said today four times, he might pace himself a little different because there's a pace that you follow. In life, we have a pace. So many times, I remember one of the best words of advice that Brother Rich Thomas ever gave me. He said, you know, Roy, he said, you're a great guy, you're a great leader. But he said, you know, you're always at such a fast pace, people don't even know where you are. I began to think about that. I began to think about the difference between a leader and a scout. It's humorous, but so many times we're the leader of our households, but we're so far out ahead that nobody even knows where we're at. We can get so far out ahead of God. We can get so far out ahead of the Holy Ghost that we miss out on everything that God has for us in the here and the now, because we want to run a faster pace. We don't want to wait on God, so we make our own decisions. It starts out slowly, step by step, just as our experience with God. I understand some of this so much more now that as I get older and I'm thinking wisdom, but sometimes I'm question that. But nevertheless, somebody said yesterday, talking about gray hair and wisdom, and they made reference to my gray hair, and I said, oh, no. I started turning gray when I was like 16. This isn't wisdom, this is stress. But no. But you see, God started off very simple. And a process of salvation with repentance. He says, you know, I'm not going to give you the Holy Ghost first. You're going to grow into that. You're going to pace yourself a little bit, Brother Repka. You're going to start off with repentance. How's that? So we start off with repentance, don't we? We got things in our life shouldn't be there, sin. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short. You look around you, you're just surrounded by a whole church full of cleansed sinners. If it wasn't for the grace and the mercy and the blood of Jesus Christ, we'd all be just drunk, drug addicts, strung out, good Lord knows what. Would be messes. But because of repentance, I'm so thankful. But we want to rush through repentance sometimes, don't we? Oh, I want to get to the good stuff. Repentance is a very vital part of the step. Don't rush it. Don't rush yourself. Pace yourself. Then baptism. I'm going to go a little bit off here. You don't want to pace yourself too much in baptism because you can't see. When you go under the water, there's a time limit. We're not trying to see how long you can hold your breath. We're not trying to shake you out. Just make sure that all of those sins are out. We baptize you. You go under. You get wet. You come back up. And then there's the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's so awesome. This is starts out slowly, step by step. Today, perhaps you're here. Maybe you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you've never repented. Maybe it's been a long time since you've repented. I just want to open up this altar. Maybe you've just come through the fight of your life and you're out on the other side and you see miles of highway ahead of you and you're just ready to just put the pedal to the metal. And maybe you just need to just take a deep breath. Slow down a little bit and enjoy the journey. Maybe you're in that. Maybe that's where you are today. I don't know. Each one of us is battling individually, but I want to open up this altar, give you an opportunity to come down and talk to God about it. As our worship team sings, Sister Fiona, God bless you.
Here, as we wait, seek your face, come and make your throne upon our praise. And here, in this place, have your way. The moment that we see you, we are changed. So show.
Surrender, we fall.
Singing, but I just want to interject here. I've said this a lot of times. I'm going to keep saying it. We have to take what we learn, and then we have to make the practical application. We understand that, don't we? So when you leave today, your homework that you can do, I mean, you can blow it off and not do it. That's totally up to you. You want to crash and burn, live a disastrous life, and smoke out? And I'm just joking. You don't have to. But what area do you need to slow down and engage with life at a slower pace? Sometimes it's just the simple things. What is it that you need to just slow down a little bit? Engage with life. Not that you have to change it or eliminate it, just engage at a slower pace. And when you've tried quickly to get your life back to normal, what happened? What lessons can we learn? Sometimes we don't teach ourselves. There's a lot of lessons we can learn if we would just pay attention to what we're actually doing. And then think of a biblical example of how God might be using perhaps a delay in your life to make you stronger. Those are the simple applications. Think about it, read about it, and apply. It's in the application process of hearing the word that it becomes powerful. It becomes a powerful tool in our life. Amen? God bless you. We're going to just go back to worshiping. I just wanted to put that in. Go ahead, Sister Fran.
So shows you.